News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is Frisky Friday. Boy, did our pups have fun in the snow. Our cats and dogs and animals had never seen it before in this area, so there are lots of fun videos online this week. And on the phone, because it is kind of a trek to come over here to the studio on a day like today, I have Randy Lambert, who is with the Santa Rosa County Animal Services, and we'll be talking a bit about the Santa Rosa County Animal Shelter. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for calling in. We didn't want you to have to make the trip just in case the bridges froze over this morning. So I appreciate you calling in.
Absolutely. I appreciate you giving us opportunity to be online with you today.
Well, so how's everything going in Santa Rosa County right now? My goodness. Did anybody see this coming?
No, absolutely. This has been crazy. I mean, the forecast was pretty spot on about when and where, but the how much was what I think really has caught everybody off guard.
Yeah, I was very skeptical, to tell you the truth, because I've lived here for over 20 years, so they'd say snow, and you think a flurry or two. This was no joke, and I was thinking
No joke, indeed.
I was thinking a lot about the animals out there and the strays and stuff. How's the shelter doing? Did you have a lot of folks bringing animals in, and how did this impact you all?
No, we didn't have anybody bringing anybody in. We don't take owner surrenders.
Okay.
We just don't have the capacity to do that. But the dogs and the cats here in the shelter were fine. Our dog kennels have a pretty cool system. The floor is heated.
No
kidding.
So we
have a big boiler that runs hot water underneath the floor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which keeps that nice and toasty. Yeah, it keeps it nice and toasty for them. And each dog out in our regular kennels has what I call a two-room apartment. They have an indoor and an outdoor. So when it's inclement weather, whether it's really windy or raining or cold, we will bring the dogs in and shut the guillotine doors that go in between their two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then that keeps them inside where it's nice and warm. And then we also have overhead heaters that also use that same hot water to heat the air in the kennels. So they are kept nice and comfortable. Our cat rooms are actually have HVAC units.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously those are kept in a temperature that's favorable to them. But the dogs, they are taken care of. We make sure that those temperatures are right and that they have warm floors. We give everybody blankets.
Aww.
Thanks for a lot of laundry.
Aww.
We do a lot of laundry every day.
I guess
we keep the washer and dryer going, especially on these cold days.
Oh, no
but,
doubt.
That's the preparation that we do, is to make sure the boiler is running good at a good temperature. And then it kind of feeds off of what the ground temperature is as a probe that goes into the ground.
Uh-huh.
And understands the temperature from there. And then it will ramp up the temperature as it needs to meet the demand to keep the kennels nice and warm.
That's fantastic. So that happens. So if someone can't get into the shelter or because of the weather, then you know that they're warm and taken care of, at least for a few hours.
Well, yeah. And what we do as a part of our emergency program, we have people that are assigned that come in, and we have provisions for them. If you're not familiar with where the shelter is, we're next to the emergency management, the emergency operations center for the county.
Mm-hmm.
Is like next door. And so there's cots over there for people to overnight in if need be. So, you know, we have a system. And you know, we make sure we're going to care for the animals the way they deserve.
Well, it's amazing that you have that service and that they are well taken care of during a situation like this, which was so unexpected. So tell me now, what are some of the things that you need? Because I'm guessing, like all of us, we had some supplies and now it's time to resupply. Is there donations or somewhere people can go to help out?
You can always go to our website, the county website, the SantaRosa.fl.gov, and then go to the departments and go to Animal Services, and then there's a way to donate through there. But other than that, if you had some blankets or something that you wanted to drop off to us, our lobby is open today until 4:30.
Oh, good to know.
We take those donations. Yep, yep.
Towels work, you know, too, if you have big beach towels, things like that?
Those are great. All of those things are great. We go through them. Sometimes the dogs will get a little rowdy with them and kind of shred them up a little bit. So we end up having to toss some of those.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we're always looking for those types of donations.
Okay. And then what about food?
Food is something a little bit different for us right now. In the past, we have relied on donation
mm-hmm.
for food, and we've purchased it, obviously, ourselves. But we were asking for that. But we have entered into a contract with a company that is providing food at a very, very, very low cost.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's a pilot program that they're working on. We were selected, I believe, one out of 15 shelters
wow.
in the area.
Wow.
I believe the area would be the southeast.
Oh, no and, kidding. Good for you.
Yeah, it was a connection that our county administrator made at an event with this company, and a couple years later, she called our county administrator and said, "Hey, what do you think about this program?" And he turned her over to me, and we kind of worked it out. So we're getting that part of the equation figured out by these deliveries that come once a month for dog and cat food. And puppy and kitten, et cetera. So now it allows us to really focus on things like enhancement for the animals, doing better things here in the shelter,
mm-hmm.
Toys, or whatever we can do to make life better here in the shelter rather than asking for food all the time.
Well, that's great. That's the relief of a huge burden, I would imagine. That's really great.
It sure is. And you know, it has allowed us to really kind of refocus again on what are the things that we need. Do we need things that help us do spay and neuters more efficiently?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we need more things to allow the dogs to exercise more or the cats to have more toys to play with? Or whatever it is, we're able to focus more on that.
That's really great. That's great news. Now, do you still have the wish list going in case there are other things besides food? How would I find that?
We do, and that comes out that's on our Facebook,
uh-huh.
The Santa Rosa County Animal Services Facebook account, and we do put out that wish list once a week. And again, that's going to be one of those things where we're really pinpointing what we're looking for. This is what we need. We need crates this week, or we need Kong toys this week, or whatever it is we need this week, right now, what we're in dire need of, we're going to be able to put on that wish list and hopefully get some of those in.
That sounds great. So this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on Frisky Friday, talking with Randy Lambert. He is the Chief of Animal Services for Santa Rosa County. So we're going to come back to Randy in just a couple minutes after the break and find out a little bit more about what's happening at the shelter this week. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And my expert for Frisky Friday today is Randy Lambert with the Santa Rosa County. He's the Chief of Animal Services for Santa Rosa County. So Randy, now that we're coming into January and folks might be thinking now's the time to adopt or foster. Talk a little bit about that and what folks can do if they're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Currently, we have 333 residents
wow.
in our care right now.
What is your capacity?
Way under that.
My goodness.
So in-house, we have 85 dogs right now, and we have 100 dogs that are out in foster care. We have 33 cats in-house and 113 out in foster care.
Oh,
now, some of the ones in foster care are foster to adopt, which means once they are old enough, well enough, and have been altered, then at that point they can be adopted. Under state statute, we have to wait until they are altered and microchipped before we can adopt them out. So we make sure they have a rabies shot, any other applicable vaccines that they need for their age and species, and then we're able to adopt those out.
Is the cost for that covered by the shelter?
Absolutely. Dog adoptions are $25, and that includes everything I just said, the spay-neuter, the microchip, and all vaccines that are needed at that point. For cats, it's $10. And it doesn't matter the age or the size or the anything about the animal. As long as it's a cat, it's $10. If it's a dog, it's $25.
So there's no specific time range that someone has to foster, for example. If somebody just wanted to do it for a day or two, they could. And then the other program I've heard you talk about is the Doggy Day Out.
Right. The Doggy Day Out is phenomenal. It's a great program. It allows people to come in and first of all, you have to go to our website and sign up as a volunteer. And then once that's gone through, which usually takes a few days to go through, once that's finalized, then you're able to come in and we'll pair you up with a dog. You take the dog out for the day. Maybe you take it out for an hour. Maybe you take it out for 4 hours, whatever it may be. Go through the drive-through line at Chick-fil-A, pick Aww. Up a pup cup for the dogs,
yeah.
and they just eat that up, literally.
Aww.
And, so it's a great program. It does a couple things. It gets the dog out of the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
The stress of being in the shelter is tremendous. But it gets them out of the shelter, but it also gets them in a one-on-one situation with the individual. And then the individual can give us feedback about how the dog was during the day. How were they on the leash? How were they on the walk? How were they in the car? All different types of interactions like that, which allows us to pass that information along to somebody who's potentially an adopter. So yeah. It's a really great program. Now back to the fostering. We need fosters all the time. Again, getting an animal out of the shelter is great. This is no place to be. And, we try to do the best that we can, but again, it's just not the ideal environment for a dog or a cat, actually. But we have really a couple of different types of fosters. One of them would be a medical foster. So that would be somebody who would come in and foster an animal for a day or two, or maybe just overnight until we're able to line up something a little more permanent, until the animal as well. So somebody who's had an operation or some sort of illness, and we need them to have special care for a little while. Maybe it's a week. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But it's as much as you can give is what we'll take. And then on the regular foster side, again, it's just getting that dog or cat out of the shelter and into a home setting to where they're not here. That's the goal, not here. But on the flip side, we also get that very valuable information about how the animal is acting in a home setting, which is most often very different from what it is here in the shelter. A lot of dogs in particular are barrier reactive. So if you're walking through the kennels and looking at them, they may go completely nuts and act like they want to eat you.
Right.
But if you get them out of the kennel, they want to sit in your lap and lick
mm-hmm.
your face. You know,
they're just scared.
Yeah, they are. They are. And unfortunately, there's a learned behavior that happens in the kennels, the dog kennels, and that is how to react.
Aww.
When somebody walks through.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just sitting there and looking cute like most of them are, they get all riled up and they feel like they have to jump and bark and act like that, which, you know, is not conducive to getting somebody to want to adopt you. So, again, getting an animal out of the shelter for a few days or a few hours or a couple of weeks is really great.
Well, I've always interpreted the barking when I've walked through is pick me, pick me, pick me, please pick
right,
me, take
right,
me out
right.
of here. So trying to get our attention for
right.
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody was barking at me this morning as I was walking through the kennels, checking on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they were barking at me in a different way than I'm used to hearing them bark at me. I'm like, what are you trying to tell me?
Right.
What is going on? So I really took a good look at them to see if they're trying to tell me that something was wrong with them or something
mm-hmm.
wrong around them. You know, because they understand when things aren't right.
Right. Oh, they're very smart. Very smart.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to take... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Another big thing that I wanted to touch base on was... We've gotten, you know, with the weather, we've gotten a lot of calls about animals in distress.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's great that people are being visual about what's going on, but it's a Fourth Amendment right that we have to watch about how these things are being reported to us. We can't take a complaint from somebody who feels like something is happening or not happening. We can't take a complaint where somebody has climbed up a ladder and looked over somebody's privacy fence into their backyard to film something or take a picture or just look. That's a violation of privacy, and we're not able to do those things. And people really get upset with us that we're not doing our job, but we're trying to follow the law. And that really wears on my staff, my animal control staff, in that they have big hearts for the animals, and they want to make sure everybody's taken care of. But when we explain this to them and they're like, well, this dog doesn't have shelter, and I just know it doesn't have food and water in that shed that it's in. And we say to them, but you just said it's in a shed, that's shelter.
Right, right.
Well, I understand people are passionate about stuff, but we have to be sure that we're following the law and giving proper rights to the people that are the owners of the animals also.
Okay. Thank you, Randy, so much. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a question for Randy at the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter and Animal Services, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It is Frisky Friday. Randy Lambert, who is Chief of Animal Services with Santa Rosa County Animal Shelter and Animal Services, is on the line talking about people reporting things. Is there some place they should be reporting those kinds of things, Randy?
No, they can be reported to us, but just understand that we're not able to act on something where the violation of privacy has happened.
Understood.
Does that make sense?
Yes, perfectly understood. Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left, so what are your important needs right now, and what can listeners do to help you as you weather the weather?
The weather is, we're in the middle of winter, so it's again, the importance is make sure you're giving proper shelter to your animals that are outside. And of course, food and water; those are critical. They have to have those things, and those are big time reasons to with the cold weather, you got to really make sure you're providing those things for your animals. And if you're in the market for a new dog or cat, just want to come by and peruse, we're always looking to unite somebody for their forever home, and we got plenty of good kitties, plenty of good dogs.
What are your hours today and this weekend?
Okay, so tomorrow, today we'll be open till 4:30.
Okay.
And tomorrow we'll be open from 10 to 3:30.
Okay, so that's plenty of time to take a look and maybe foster or take a dog out for a walk?
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, whenever you foster, we're providing all the medical needs, all of the food if needed, bedding, whatever it is that you need, a crate, whatever it is that you need. We're providing those things during the foster time.
All right. We've been talking with Randy Lambert, Chief of Animal Services for Santa Rosa County. What's your website again if people would like to donate or are interested in signing up to be a volunteer or to foster or adopt?
Yeah, it's the county website, which is santarosa.fl.gov, and then you just go to the department number, which would be Animal Services.
All right, thank you, Randy.